Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, welcome to the Keith Walsh podcast with myself, Keith Walsh, and my friend Mike. Mike, you're here.
I am. Yeah. My computer just got taken over by something there. I don't know what the fuck happened. It started saying test your speaker and test something else and test something, and then it wouldn't allow me to use it. So I feel like I've been murdered.
Are you freaked out? What are you drinking?
Cup of tea. You're drinking tea as well. Oh,
and we're both drinking out of glass cups.
Yes, this is a bucket. You can't really see the size of it, but it's a half liter.
Wow, half liter of tea.
Nearly a pint.
You like your tea milky, Mike?
As I said to a guy at work the other day, who walked up to me and said, "God, you like your tea milky, didn't you? Don't you?"
Yeah.
I said to him, "Fuck off! I never comment." I never comment how you like your coffee. Yeah. So he said, 100%, that's correct. That is the correct answer, he said. I shall never. This guy Henry, he said to me, I shall never comment on another man's beverage again.
It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. Yeah.
How are you, Mike?
I'm great, yeah. How are you doing, Guy?
Good, yeah. Managed to get our podcast up.
You did. It was very good. I listened to it. It was very, very good. Yeah, and we had some customer interaction as well from the our mentor, I think, the creative one in the group. Burgle Firk was just, he was on fire. He encapsulated it all into a song, which we might try and do later on.
Well, I'm hoping that you would sing it because I don't really, I mean, I know that song, Memories, but I'm not sure of the air of it all the way through. So I would hope that you might attempt to sing it at some point.
It's not Memories, it's The Way We Were.
Yeah.
Memories is a Memories all alone in the burning. That was the trashy sort of, what's his name? The little fella that writes.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, it's him, yeah.
Is he little? Funny.
He's funny little fella, isn't he?
Funny little fella, isn't he? Ah, he's fucking funny little fella.
But he is a funny little fella. I'm not going to say he's ugly, but he's got kind of funny features. Mm. He's more Picasso than Modigliani, you know?
He's got other attractive features, doesn't like he's obviously he's a brilliant musician, he's very wealthy, possibly sound. Did you ever meet him?
No, never met him. I think he is sound by all accounts. He's very, very funny, very witty. Mm. His brother's as bad as a box of frogs, isn't he? The cellist guy.
Oh, is he?
There's another very famous Lloyd Webber, yeah, and he's got the hair. I think he's got the hair of the family.
Oh, fuckers with hair. They're just dicks. He is very wealthy, seems like a sound, loves to party, likes from what I know, likes red wine and inviting people over. Like, you know, he's one of these people. Elton John is like that as well, and Bono's a bit like that as well. If you make it, if you're a certain level, if you're a young musician, or you know, you're just breaking into that and you're just like suddenly you're number one and you're on Top of the Pops or whatever the equivalent is of, you know, you're huge on TikTok. You know, these guys like Elton, and they'll give you a ring and go, you know, give you some advice and invite you over for tea, and you know, and they'll bring you into the celebrity world with a, you know, few words, sage words of advice. And Lloyd Webber kind of does that as well. He seems to sort of, you know, once you get to a certain level of fame, it's like being invited to the Jonathan Ross fancy dress party at Halloween.
Oh, I never knew there was such a thing.
There is, yeah, yeah. So you know you've made it if you're being invited to Elton John's gaff. I nearly called him Olivia Newton-John. Andrew Lloyd Webber or Jonathan Ross's Halloween party.
Okay, so we need to get on the guest list for one of them.
We do.
Yeah, I remember Elton got, he invited that Pete Doherty or Doherty or however he likes to be known to his sort of place and tried to mentor him and whatever. But I think it was a little bit too late at that stage. I think the advice would have been a couple of months earlier would have been like, calm yourself, relax.
Yeah, I mean, I think as bad as, I don't know, but I don't think Elton ever went the heroin route. I think cocaine was his drug of choice. And, you know, I mean, with all drugs, it's you know, you're dealing with, it's a difficult thing to deal with, but heroin is, there's something else going on there, you know. That's a lot of trauma work there.
That's a lot of stuff, yeah, a lot of, but sweet highs and bad lows, you know, that's the, it yeah. gives you both sides of the thing, whereas some are just kind of like, woo, personality enhancers, and some are a little bit kind of, make you relaxed, and yeah, you don't want to be getting on that big train.
Not the H train, no.
No.
But also it's like, to be taking the heroin, you're, the type of person that becomes addicted to heroin is, they have a lot of trauma, like they're coming from a not, you know, probably not a good place. That's the
maybe they're coming from a really good place.
They just want to take heroin. I don't think people just want to take drugs, Mike. That's what I feel.
No, I think we might have discussed it before, but I knew a guy who was thinking of setting up a heroin weekends business, and probably we shouldn't start talking about this.
Yeah,
so you get on a plane and sort of go somewhere, and then you get whatever, and then there's minders to put you back on that plane like 72 hours later. It'd be like one of those hangover movies. Yeah, and I don't think that's a good idea. No. Girls and boys, that's a really bad idea.
Yeah, don't do that. And if anybody that knows Mike contacts you and says they have a heroin weekend business going, if you want to, you know.
Well, I do not endorse that business.
It's a different type of weekend, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's like
you've got Center Parks,
Chasing the Dragon. Oh, it's not funny. Drug addiction not isn't funny. Funny.
No, not funny. Not but, funny, but a lot of people. I mean, drugs are a strange thing, and many and varied. There's a lot of people that would go to Peru, for instance, ayahuasca, which is a hallucinogenic drug taken from the bark of a tree and something else, maybe the leaf of the tree, and they make a potion out of it, and it makes you vomit, and then it makes you trip for a long time, and then you find yourself, apparently.
Now, we mentioned this before.
Did we?
Yeah. Well, you had done a podcast with a guy who had done it.
Mm.
And not that we're sort of saying this is a good thing. And then a buddy of mine, funnily enough, during the week, rang me up and said, a kid I used to know, a buddy of mine who we have in common has a child. The last time I saw this child, he was like 10. But now he said to me, did you hear about your man's son? I said, no. I said, he must be 15 now. He said, no, he's 27. And he's shacked up with a shaman from that particular place in South America where they do the whatever, and she leads the these experiences. So we got an in.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Podcast live from Peru.
Oh yeah, that would be phenomenal.
Like during an ayahuasca trip. Like we make very little sense as it is.
I guarantee you forget to press record.
I would just fucking remember to press record. I'd be looking for the fucking computer. I'd be like, fucking hell, I'd be talking into a pine cone or something. I'd be trying to, I'd imagine like trying to project the podcast up my own arse. Some kind of anal microphone.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Oh man.
Anyway, let's do it. Yeah.
The ayahuasca. Yeah. So anyway, that's all that. Don't do drugs, kids.
No, do not do drugs don't do alcohol either necessarily.
No.
Because that's one of the big ones.
It is
the big one. Yeah. I mean, we were talking kind of during the week about global pandemics and all sorts of stuff to do with suicide and the global pandemics are here every day. The alcohol, the suicide, they just keep happening.
Mm.
The unnecessary deaths through whatever keep happening. And nobody's, I think one of your many online things has got a tweet or something pinned to the top of it saying, if only every suicide was reported the way something else was reported. Yeah, and absolutely, but it's not.
I would love for it to be, because I remember, like, obviously we both grew up in the Troubles, and every day in the news it'd be like, you know, bomb, you know, terrible, terrible news, you know.
Mm.
I would love for it to be like I would love for it to be so serious that it's like the first news every time, like how many people have died of suicide today. And then like with COVID, it's like, oh, everyone has to stay at home because too many people are dying of suicide. Like if there was like measures, if the numbers were too high, or if obviously every person and every life is sacred. But what I'm saying is if we were like constantly keeping it, we had a running, you know, like Enfit, or we had a group that were just like,
yeah,
that was
yeah.
their only job was to make sure people didn't die by suicide. You know, I'd love for it to be taken that seriously. It's a hugely complex thing, mental health and all that. And, you know, someone could, I don't know if anybody would, but somebody could make the argument, well, what if somebody does want to just end their life? What then, you know?
Well, there is euthanasia, you know, there is that is a type of suicide, you know. Mm. You are taking your own life, and that's kind of legal-ish, and there's all sorts of areas around it. And of course, if you're talking about COVID deaths, we've all become now immune to that because it's no longer on the news anymore. It's no longer that important, which is kind of good. I can see where they're going with that, but still we kind of need to know that it's killing people. Yeah, and I think suicide should be reported. But of course, the problem with suicides is you can't prove, you know, you can't, it's very difficult when they're reported and when they're actually, they go through a coroner's court or whatever. It might be through misadventure or it might be whatever, and it might not specifically have that. So yeah, it is hugely complex.
Yeah.
Getting it tied down to a number is terrible. And it's, you know, it's still seen as a hugely shameful thing, which, you know, that's people's perception. What can you do?
It's the ability for anybody to intervene or to know when to intervene, because, you know, you always hear like, we just didn't know, we hadn't got a clue, it just kind of came out of the blue. You know, he/she seemed fine that day. He/she was in great form. You know, anecdotally, you hear these things, and then, but you'd love to be. You'd love for people to have like training. Like, I know there is training, but for it to be as widely as CPR or whatever, so that you can preventative, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There is training. There's ASSIST training, which is a globally recognized training for assisting people who are literally in the sticky end of the situation in crisis. And then, you know, that's sort of designed to intervene, move away, and get back. And 90% of the time that is effective. There's other training you can do. You can do sort of smaller half-day sort of training courses run by local authorities and local charities, actually. The likes of Pieta House will run days when they give you the heads up on what to do if you think somebody's in crisis. And this is not just for somebody who thinks they know somebody who might have issues. This is for anybody, because you could be driving along one day and see somebody standing on a bridge. And that's, you know, you just need to go up and ask them, you know, and it's all cognitive behavioral therapy type of stuff. It's all based in that. It's really direct. Are you, you know, if you see somebody in distress, you walk up and you ask them, are you thinking about killing yourself? And then the conversation will or won't open. So it's you take it from there. It's just it's a tricky thing to do. But I think like first aid, it is, you know, you're giving somebody the old, everybody knows how to sort of do compressions. Mm. We've all seen it on television and we can, you know, we can do staying alive, maybe there should be a song for suicide prevention. To market it as something. Yeah, we've gone, Jesus, we've gone fierce deep.
Got very deep, very early. But look, if anyone's listening to this and you need someone to talk to, you know where we are. If you send us an email, keithwalshpod@gmail.com, I'm not trained to help you. Mike isn't necessarily trained to help you as a therapist. He's trained in other things, but we would be able to put you on to an organization that can help. There's a great organization called letsgettalking.ie. Letsgettalking.ie. And what they do, Mike, is you rock up to them or you give them a call or whatever, send them an email. They will means test you. So they'll say, well, what are you doing at the moment? Are you working? Are you not working? Are you in the dole? Are you whatever? And they will charge you whatever you can afford to pay for a therapist. So, because the problem is it can be expensive. And I'm very lucky that I can pay for one. It is expensive. But my wife is very, like, you know, it's, I suppose I'm lucky that I'm in a relationship where it's like, well, this is important. Let's spend it on this. It's not always the case. And so these people will means test you and you will pay what you can afford. That could be 10 euro a week. That could be 50. It could be, you know, could be if it's a full price, 60 euro a week, that's what it would be if you can afford it. So I think great organization. And they're the people that I would recommend at the moment to get in touch with.
Absolutely. But if you're in crisis and listening to this, you know, call the Samaritans, call Pieta House, call there are lots and lots of people you can call who will talk to you and not judge you. They don't know who you are. It's all done anonymously. I know a lot of people who do the sort of Samaritans and Pieta House stuff, and it's all, you know, no, there's no judging. And some of these people like cry with laughter after half an hour of talking to somebody just to have a chat. It might just be lonely. You know, and that's very difficult to a concept to get across in this day and age where there's everybody's connected and everybody's got things to do. But, you know, I think who was it? Phil Collins said, I'm in a crowded room, but I'm all on my own, you know, and that can be.
I had somebody get in touch with me recently who had nobody to talk to. And they were basically saying, look, my other half has left me and I feel like the walls are closing in on me and I've no one to talk to. And, you know, we're all so busy and we've so many friends on social media and so many colleagues and so many whatever. And yeah, it's very easy to find yourself feeling, and it is a feeling and it is a perspective, feeling like you're on your own. Because as soon as you, even just admitting that, like even maybe just him just saying that to me, opens up something, you know, and it creates a space for you to kind of go, okay, right, I've said that to somebody now, okay, so then you like that's kind of the first step, and it can be a huge people are, you see there'll be somebody listening to this thinking, well, I'm not that bad, I'm not as bad as other people. Don't compare yourself to other people. It's all relative. If you're feeling like shit, talk to somebody. If you feel like you're feeling like bring the Samaritans, don't worry about it. Don't die of embarrassment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what if I ring them and they say, well, you're not that bad. What are you complaining about? They won't do that to you. And don't feel like, don't die of embarrassment is the thing that they say to men about their heart and not get it checked out when you think there's something wrong with you, because you don't want to ring the ambulance because you don't want to be getting people out at all hours and it might be indigestion. Don't die of embarrassment. Ring the Samaritans, ring Pieta House, ring somebody and have that chat and you will feel better straight away. And if you're not, look, if it's just a chat, as Mike said, that's cool too.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, once you say something, it's out there. Once it's out there, something can be done. You've acknowledged it yourself by saying it. You can think these things, but unless they utter past your lips, or you write them down, or you text somebody, or say something, or communicate in some way with somebody, it's not out. It's not out of you. It's like a boil that has to be lanced. You have to get this out there. And somebody might say, oh, listen, yeah, it's not that bad. You'd be grand or whatever. And you kind of go, well, I don't know. I don't feel it's not that bad. I don't actually feel that things are going to get grand anytime soon. And people will tell you, you know, alarm bells will ring. People will tell you straight up if you ask them, are you feeling this way, that way or the other? They will tell you immediately that they are.
Mm.
And it's like a huge pressure release. All that happens is bang, and it's out. And once it's out, it can be dealt with.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the alcohol thing. Once you ask for help, that's the big step. That's the first step. You've taken the hardest step. So there you go. That's a heavy start.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Check it out. What's it all about? We don't know what is it all about. That's the we're all just struggling. We're all just struggling to just get through it, whatever it is. Mike, check it out. What have you got for us this week?
Are you basing your check it out on, oh Christ, look at that big sandwich. Sorry. As he said, Mike, what's it all about? He's got some big sort of focaccia type. Is it a focaccia or just a big white bun?
It's a big bap, I think they'd call it in Waterford.
Up, it's a bap. No, they call it a blah.
Oh, a blah, order. Yeah.
Fucking bap. Jesus Christ, how much of that can you get into your mouth? Oh, my Lord, Jesus. It's like the fucking apes enclosure in Dublin Zoo. Oh, fucking, oh. I did not want to see that on Zoom this morning. It's got from fucking serious mental health to like food porn. Fucking Jesus. I can't talk. He's got so much food as well.
I just really wanted a bite.
What's in it? Is it cheese? I can't talk now. It's whatever it is. Is it goat's cheese? Because that really dries up everything. It's like cement when it hits the back of your fucking throat.
It's an egg mayonnaise salad.
Oh. I don't think there's enough salt on the planet to make an egg mayonnaise sandwich tasty. That's just me.
I love egg mayonnaise. My wife was in town, and on the way home, she stopped in Avoca and bought me a sandwich, and it is as big as my head.
Okay, that is a bought sandwich. That's not something you've made yourself. You haven't been up all night making egg. Yeah.
No.
It's probably got a lot of salt in it. That's why you like it.
Yeah, fuck. I need to do it my salt intake. Forget about that. What have you got for
you? Don't. Do you know what? You don't need to deal with your salt intake. You need to do one thing at a time. You need to get your play off the ground first of all.
Don't talk to me at the play.
Oh, look at him.
Why did I write?
Oh, check it out. Check. When you say check it out now, I'm kind of under pressure to come up with things to watch during the week.
I watched something last night I can talk about, but...
No, I did. I watched loads of stuff, actually, and I listened to loads of stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. Which makes me think my life is kind of like a void just filled with television and podcasts.
Well, no, I don't think... That's like saying my life is a void. People who read are snobs. There's nothing wrong with watching a television a movie or a television program or listening to a podcast. Like, for some reason, we believe that, if it's books and you're sitting in a corner and that's all you do is read books, that it's somehow different or better to watching a movie or a TV program. I don't believe so.
No, I feel like that about people who eat porridge.
Okay, well, that was a bit of a fuck you porridge eaters from...
Yeah, fucking porridge eaters. Are you a porridge eaters?
Porridge eaters? Apologies. I'd like to apologize to everybody. I used to eat porridge, but porridge doesn't... Oats don't agree with me, Mike.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. I haven't come across anybody who... Like, I would be oat intolerant.
Well, it's gluten, isn't it? There's gluten in oats.
That's possibly what it is. I don't know.
I need to deal with my salt.
It seems specifically oats and porridge. Even if I cook it, or even if it's overnight oats, or even if it's still, it doesn't.
And how does it not agree? Like a poo-poo, bad poo-poos.
Yeah. Bad poo-poo.
Yeah. I got
bad poo-poos. I got my poo poo. Check it out.
Shit it out.
What's your poop all about?
Yeah, where would it be on the Bristol stool chart?
Oh, it'd be off the, it'd be sliding down off the chart.
Off the charts. That's one chart you don't want to be off. Yeah, I think there's people I know at work who bring in, you know, I'm having my porridge. They always tell you they're having porridge. Mm. It's like somebody who's running a marathon. As Fergal Burke has just run a marathon in 3 hours and 19 minutes, I would be in hospital now still. Yeah, absolutely. What a man. The Manchester. This time last week, he was running the Manchester Marathon, and he completed it. And he sent us a little video of him passing the line. He did look a bit bollocks. He looked like me bollocks, after about 7 pints.
Fergal Burke putting the man into Manchester.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had wobbly legs.
Yeah, he said he had them after about 7 miles.
It can happen, you see.
I did just give it up.
Like, Fergal is a very good runner, but he has this time in his head that he wants to beat. And so he heads off at a pace. Do you know what I mean?
He's like, oh, yeah.
He's right from the start. Whereas when I did my marathons, I was like, all right, let's just jog it out nice and easy, nice and handy. No panic. Get there when we get there. But you can knock the wind out of yourself quite early. And I see Fergal out most nights out running. Like, he's putting in the hours. He's putting in the miles. But
you see, now I know you've done marathons, because what's the first thing people who run marathons tell you about when they talk about marathons?
Yes, when I did my second marathon.
Yeah. So people who eat porridge, okay, they always tell you they're eating, I'm just going to have a bowl of porridge. I'm just going to put some porridge in the microwave. You could be having a discussion with somebody else. They might walk into the canteen. I'm just going to put my porridge into the microwave. Or I've had my overnight oats, and that's the real. They're the hardcore. Mm. Yeah, these are my overnights. Oh, what do you put with them? Blueberry. Oh, I love blueberry. Super cram. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, fuck off.
Have you never had porridge, Mike?
I'm not a great porridge lover. And I find that everybody told me the reason they eat porridge is that it makes them full, so they don't have to eat anything for the rest of the day. And, of course, this is in my head. The second I eat a bowl of porridge, all I want is chocolate biscuits.
Yeah.
I'm just hungry.
But do you put sugar in your porridge?
Yeah, sugar, honey, golden syrup, any fucking thing.
Yeah, well, then you're, like, obviously you're having a very sweet, that's dessert then if it's sugar in your porridge.
What's the difference? I mean,
you need to have porridge with, like, you know, some bananas and some blueberries, and you can't be putting sugar in it.
That's not going to make you feel empty.
Porridge isn't the problem. Sugar is the problem.
You need to sort your salt out. That's what you do, Mr. Salty. High blood pressure. Fucking.
Anyway, that's the porridge.
Yeah, fuckers, porridge people. People.
Stop listening to this podcast if you eat porridge.
Yeah, check it out. So I've been watching. I thought I'd go homegrown, because I realized I never mentioned anything on RTE, really.
Why? Why is that?
Well, a lot of it is shit. But because I've only just recently got RTE, really, I'm really enjoying what everybody else bitches about, which is reading in the ears.
Oh, no, everyone loves reading in the ears, don't they?
Oh, but everybody bitches about it. You know, it's the 172nd time I've seen 1972 on Reading in the Ears.
Okay.
It is played ad nauseum on. Every time I put the television on, it's on.
But they must find that when people come across Reading in the Ears, they just leave it on. Do you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Oh, I'll just leave this on. It's not going to harm me. And
no, it's like background. And it's a bit of a laugh, but I always find it emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Always find it really emotional. And the last ones they did, the 2010s or the 20, whatever they were, that I found them very emotional, you know, because we were living through it and it's right recent memory. But yeah, I quite like them. And there's another fella who I don't know. He's got something to do with Ballymaloe. I think he's the husband of one of the people down in Ballymaloe. He does the cooking program. There's a load of cooking programs now that I'm hugely interested. I like cooking programs, right? So there's a guy, and he's middle-aged, maybe getting on a little bit. I think he's Doreena Allen's husband or something.
No, Doreena Allen's husband would be like 90.
Or maybe the son-in-law then or something.
There's the other Alan. They have a son, but I don't think he has a cookery program at the moment.
No, he's not an Alan. He's an O-something.
Oh, okay.
I should have really fucking looked at this.
It's not Nevin Maguire, is it?
No, Nevin Maguire. Wee Nevin. I never liked Nevin Maguire until I saw him on, Tommy. Tommy Tiernan.
Yeah.
And then I saw him as a human. Because when he's cooking, he doesn't look like he's enjoying the food. It's kind of like, I'm trying to be perfect at cooking this. But when he talks about food, different man altogether. Mm. I'd say he'd fucking kill you with kindness at the place he's at. You know, should we give you, we'll give you 13 wee tasting menu, 13 courses, and a wee drop of wine with everyone. He's brilliant. I like a little bit of Nevin.
He is one of the soundest people you'll ever meet.
Oh, yeah. I think you said that before. He gave you books and stuff just a nice fella. Yeah.
Yeah, just a nice guy. Rachel Allen, right, is the daughter-in-law. Rachel Allen, husband. Let's see if we can find... No, that's Isaac Allen.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Somebody email in right now, straight away.
Yeah. Even though work this conundrum out.
Figure it. So anyway, so you've been watching the cookery program with this guy.
And he's very, very funny. He looks like he's just had a glass of brandy. And a fag, and he's kind of come on, and he's just doing sort of French cooking kind of bits and pieces, made simple one pot dishes and stuff like that. He's very, very, whoever he is, he's very, very good. And there's also a young guy who works in a Michelin starred restaurant in Dublin, whose name I don't know either. He's red haired, but he's really, really good. The best TV chef I've ever seen in my life. I would actually cook along with him. Everything's very simple, and this is why I'm doing this. And this is, do you ever think why they're putting this in? Because of this. Do you ever think why they're doing this? Because of this. Do you ever
What's
think
his
why?
Name, Mike?
Fuck knows. He's a redhead fella. He works for a Michelin star kitchen in Dublin somewhere. He's on RTE.
Okay, so Donald Skean.
No, not him. Jesus.
Not Nevin Maguire. Not Kevin Dunn. Kevin Dunn?
No. He's the tall, lanky fella.
Oh, Jesus. It was Rory O'Connell.
One of them is Rory O'Connell. Definitely.
Rory O'Connell. We've got one.
Yeah.
Mark Moriarty.
Yes,
the red-haired dude is Mark Moriarty. Yeah. We got them. Yes.
Yes. We didn't have to wait for anyone to ring up. Yes. Fucks. Yeah.
Fuck you. You're too busy eating your porridge and fucking ignoring our pleas for help. So whatever. Carry on.
Yeah, they're very, very good, those two boys. But I wasn't going to talk about them. They weren't on my what's it all about, check it out list. I've been watching Kin.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Have you partaken?
Not at all, no. We missed the first one, and then I thought, well, let's just wait and watch it, like try and watch it all together. So
binge it on the RTE non-player.
Binge it, yeah, binge it. Yeah. Binge it.
Where you get HD adverts and skippy programs. Is that a bit of a rant about RTE? Yeah.
No, the RTE player is terrible. Like,
fucking dreadful, yeah. And I have the ability to tape RTE on my television now, so it's happy days.
I think anybody in the RTE organisation would wholeheartedly agree that the player is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so shit-like. Anyway, Kin, the lead guy in it, I was watching it, the first one, and I was thinking, I know him, the guy with the beard. Well, mind you, they've all got beards.
Mm.
There's one fella... Irritatingly, they seem to do this on all the RTE programs. And they're never facing the camera. And it's just, he's quite annoying. He looks like something out of Vikings. But there's another guy that just gets out of prison, and the story is sort of plotted around him. He doesn't want to go back to the underworld and whatever.
Do you know the names of any of these actors?
I do. Charlie Cox is the guy I was particularly interested in. I sat there for the first one, and by the second one, I thought, how do I know him? How do I know him? Who the fuck is he? He's wrong. He's just wrong. And it's wrong because the last time I saw him, he played on Netflix, one of the Marvel.
I was going to say, you're going to say someone from Downton Abbey, but you're not. Carry on.
No. He played Daredevil on Netflix, the blind guy who does all the martial arts and stuff and goes out saving the city. With a really strong American accent, like a really, really good New York accent. He's a lawyer by day and he's out killing people at night and stuff. Not killing people, beating people up, beating baddies.
Beating
up.
The baddies, yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. So
I started Googling him. Then I started watching a couple of interviews with him. His Dublin accent, I'm thinking then he's a Dublin actor who went to America, or he's an American actor that went to Dublin, because his Dublin accent is perfect. I mean, he plays a Dublin criminal gangster out of prison perfectly. His accent is flawless, like your own accents that you do.
Yeah, in it.
In it, like. But I'm watching him on television. He's from London.
No way. He's a geezer.
His accents are phenomenal. Yeah, wow. And I think that the program is very, very good as well. You've got the other fella who plays the gangster and everything.
Aidan Gillen.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Aidan Gillen.
There's someone
coming after you, and I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of you, bollocks. What are you looking at? What are you looking at, you fucking fucker? Huh? Do you want a cup of tea? Do you? Yeah. Do you want a cup of tea? Because I'll fucking give you a cup of tea.
He plays exactly the same role in Game of Thrones. Everything he's been in, he's this kind of, I'm going to kill you in a minute kind of thing. He's unreal.
Yeah.
But in this, he's quite good because you expect to see him, because he was in Love Hate as well.
He was in Peaky Blinders. He played the kind of traveler dude in Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking kill you. So don't worry about that now.
There's a very good London-based Irish comedian. I'm not too sure you haven't had him on the podcast, who does him all the time.
Michael Fry.
Yes, yeah. Big Dirty Fry. Yes.
He's very good.
And he just does the, like, I'm ordering a pizza, David Gillen style, or David, whatever his name, whatever. I can't remember.
Aidan Gillen. Check it out. Michael Fry, Big Dirty Fry on social media. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, he's very good. I quite like his stuff. Then I started watching Cheap Irish Homes. Oh,
this was on Friday night.
Thursday night on RTE1.
Okay,
RTE1.
So they go around the country.
Yes, they do. Yes.
Here's the shitty house, but it's by the beach. And if you did it up, it would only need like $100,000 to renovate it, blah, blah. Is that good?
Okay, so the woman is fantastic. She finds these houses and goes, listen, I did this years ago, and this is what you can do. And then she has her little Cork engineer fella that comes along beside, and he is a small Cork man and he's an engineer. And she kind of says at the beginning, we've brought this fella along from Cork. He's our engineer. And he has a look at the engineering type of things that you might have to get involved to take a wall down and do this, that, and the other. So they walk in to the house before the couple that they've got to, they show a couple, three houses. You know, it's that old sort of premise of, you know, people, would they buy one and blah. Anyway, so in goes the lady and she goes, I do this and maybe I'd move the fireplace and I do that. And your man always finds a little bit of damp. I'd get a specialist roofer in to have a look at that now. Maybe we'll have a look at it outside. There's always a gutter that's fucked. It might be the gutter that's fucked. So I'd get a specialist roofer. His family must be specialist roofing. All he fucking does is talk about specialist fucking roofers. And then she says to him, what if we take that wall down there? Oh, Jesus, I get an engineer in to have a look at that.
I get me in to have a look at that. You're fucking here looking at it.
He's so non-committal. He's so, you know, classic Irish kind of builder that turns up. A classic, not Irish builder, classic builder that turns up to your house. Yeah. And goes like, ooh, I haven't got my tape measure with me at the moment, love, but it's not going to be short of $3,000, I can tell you that, by looking at it. I've got to get the damp meter on it. And it's like every small builder in the world. And he's like, Jesus, I get somebody in. I couldn't possibly make a comment on that in case somebody sued me. He's fucking brilliant. And every time he goes into a house, and then he goes off and talks to somebody else who's done a house conversion. Mm. And it's like, so this is what you could make out of an old Irish cottage with 17 acres of land and whatever. This could be heaven. And how long has that taken you to do? And this couple, they were looking around this beautiful house, about 32 years. Jesus, that's an awful lot. And what took you the time? What swallowed up the most money? Oh, Jesus, the roof, I suppose. You're looking brilliant. The first thing I noticed, you've a new roof. When he walks into it, oh, fucking hell, he's brilliant. Yeah, but it's a great program, really good program to show you what's available. And I think my wife came up with a great idea for a show that you should do.
Good, okay. Hit me.
Yeah, okay. So it's about, there's loads of villages in the west of Ireland.
Can it be called Check It Out?
We could do something with Check.
Tell me the premise.
Okay, oh yeah, you can come up with a name, okay? So there's lots of villages dying on their feet in whatever, and they've all got sort of decent internet exchanges and whatever, because all these, you know, when they were electrified and when they had telephones come in, they've all had these green boxes outside them. And there's villages dying, there's shops closing, there's pubs closing, there's post offices and banks closing all over the place. What they should do is like have cheap Irish villages. So somebody comes in and says, right, okay, we're going to get 10 families who know, work, live, whatever. It could even be relatives or whatever. And we're going to try and relocate them and make their own village. And somebody wants to be a shopkeeper, they can reopen the shop. And it can be kind of community-based communities, if you like, sort of like running their own bar, running their own shop. So the community actually almost sorts itself out. It gives, you know, if somebody wants a drink, somebody goes on the bar on a Friday night, they don't have to open it all the time, but they can, different, you know, festivities and kids' parties and all that sort of stuff. And just to make, you know, these hive of sort of internet, sort of people can work remotely now and live rurally and not be too bad on the old, you know, they go walking the dogs and all this kind of stuff and be nice and green and... No,
so you, that'd be, you know, shit. I like it. So, yeah, so you'd be looking for like 10 to 15, maybe 20 families who can work from anywhere. Once, you know, we set up, make sure they've got good Wi-Fi, sell your homes, buy homes in, you know, on the main street of the village or whatever it is, yeah. And then run the pubs, run the, as a community, run the pubs, run the shop, run the whatever, do shifts almost like, and then sort yeah, of, and then yeah. And then get the whole thing going again. And then maybe one person might give up their day job and just full time run the shop, and one person might run the bar. Yeah, and then it just regenerates it. I think it's a good idea. I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but like,
go for it.
Are those villages dying because they need to die because we don't need them anymore? And is it just like prolonging something that the inevitable? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but we have a humongous housing crisis in the country. Huge.
What was that face about?
He was making a face at me there, listener, as if like I'm talking bollocks. But loads of these villages.
I'm not talking bollocks, sir.
Loads of, if you go down the main street of any town in the west of Ireland, there will be a baker and a whatever and a newsagent and whatever. And because they're all pretty much Georgian or Victorian houses, they've got another two or three levels upstairs.
Yeah,
nobody's living in them.
Nobody living there. Yeah,
no, they're all for storage and gone to shit, and the roof is kind of leaking and whatever. Get your man from Cheap Irish Homes in. The roof. I re-roof villages from professionally.
A whole village. You need a roof over that street.
Yeah, we're going to put a big fucking polytunnel over this village.
Yeah. The main street roofed. That's what you need. But yeah, I think that's amazing. I'd love to live in a town. I'd love to live in a house in the town. I've always wanted to live on the main street. Now, that used to be because I used to like going for a pint. So I wanted to live in the town and then be able to nip out for a pint next door, like, you know, pop in, have a pint, maybe two, and go home.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of lived out in the country. So I don't drink anymore. So maybe, but I do like the idea of living in a doing an older townhouse, or as you say, like a Georgian house, just the upstairs of a shop. Even I love that. You know, like the French make great use of their buildings. You know, like people live on the Champs-Élysées.
Yeah, and there are schools everywhere dotted throughout the country. You know, and there's all we hear is housing issues, blah, 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 people can't get jobs, blah 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 blah. But by being self-sustaining, real sustainability, you know, get grants, do the town up, do the sort of electrical and Wi-Fi, make the whole hell fucking Wi-Fi, whatever. Doesn't cost that much. Yeah. Everybody communally gets together, gets a Starlink fucking thing and just distributes Wi-Fi throughout. It's only a small geographical area. Off you go.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a brilliant idea, yeah. I'd love to see it happen. And I'd love to see that kind of thing. I'd love to see that thinking, you know. And I'd love for them to regenerate villages, get more trains re-energize certain, you know, railways, get all that stuff going, you know, and bus networks and get rid of cars and have pedestrianized towns. And there's loads we could do. Like, there's a housing estate being built near to where I live, and it's like between where I live and then like the school, you kind of have to walk and the kids have to cycle down this main road, and it's a really busy road. So everybody, like, this is the main commuter sort of road into town to go out of town, to get the motorway, to go to the school. So everybody's at the same time going in their cars, trying to get to school, trying to get out of Newbridge to go across the bridge to get onto the motor or whatever, going to, like, it's rush hour, busy artery. And then, so they built this housing estate sort of between, like, off the road, down by the river, and the river goes into the park, and then beside the park are the schools. So if you can imagine, like, I've not really explained this really well, but over where I live here, is there's 3, 4, 5 estates, right? Massive. And then to get to the school, you have to go down onto this main artery road and then follow that road all the way into town and then whatever. And they're building this housing estate kind of across the road from where I live. So if anybody had a clue what the kids could do from all these estates here where I live is go a little trip across the road. You could have like a zebra crossing, and then into that field, which is about to be a housing estate, they could have a cycle only, walk only lane that brings them all the way up the river. Lovely, lovely jaunt up the river into the park. And you're through the park, away from the road, not even near the traffic. You don't even see any traffic. It's up, out by the river, into the park, and then you're into school. Bish, bash, bosh. Everybody would be cycling. Everybody would be walking. You would solve so many problems in one simple thing. And I don't even think they're just building this fucking estate without. And I know I'm sitting here on my arse not doing nothing about it, but I'm just looking at it going, fuck's sake, if it's that obvious to me.
Yeah.
Then what the fuck?
Planning is just a massive issue here. And we've got all these rural towns that are close to, you know, they've all got schools.
Yeah.
They've all got churches. They've all got places where people allegedly want to go. So just use them. Use those. Use what we have already.
Yeah. And create little walkways through fields or through estates or, you know, lit up areas. Away from take the cycling and the walking away from the traffic, like bring it up by the river, bring it, you know, it's through the park. It's just fucking anyway. Someday, when I run for local council, I'll do all that, Mike. Because, you know,
why don't you?
I don't know if I'd have the time at the moment.
you need to deal with your salt
first. I have a big sandwich to eat. That's going to take me a while. What else, Mike?
Oh, fucking hell, what else? Well, I'm, at the moment, I'm trying, I'm, my mind is away slightly because I'm trying to text my son.
Yeah, I can see you're distracted there. What's going on? Distracted. Sorry, tell me.
I need to tell him to get the washing in.
Oh, is it raining? Do you want to go and get the washing in?
No, I do not. No. I just need to fucking...
Why don't you go out to the door, shout, Jimmy, the washing, come on.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah, Mike.
That's what we're gonna have to do. But he's attached to the.
That's okay, Mike. You take your time. I can talk to the. I'll eat my sandwich.
Huh?
I'll eat my sandwich. Good
man. He got my text.
Yay! Good man, Jimmy. Good man, Jimmy. That was good.
Yeah, we've been listening pretty much 100% of the time to the new Coldplay album.
Oh,
I'm addicted to the Coldplay BTS video. You know, the lads from Korea.
Yeah. Wow. I never would have
thought. Fantastic.
Brilliant. Why? Where did you come across it? Why did you start listening to it? Like, this seems like a bolt from the blue or something.
No, I've always... Well, Jimmy's always been a massive Coldplay album man. Yeah. And he took my old stereo with the turntable. And last year, I think Christmas-wise, we got him to, like, albums, vinyl albums, and they've been blasting ever since. And then the new album came out, and they're with BTS, you know, this Korean pop brand. I don't know if you've seen the video.
I've seen bits of it on social media.
Oh, man alive. That's the problem with social media. You only see little bits of stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I'm too busy eating my sandwich.
Yeah, you're having salt. Somebody said to me, you should sit down on your 65-inch television, full volume, and watch it. So I did the other night. We were watching something. I think we might have actually been watching something like my favorite program in the world, which is Aussie Gold Hunters, which I make everybody in the house watch because it's so good. I never want it to end. If it was 24 hours a day, I would watch it 24 hours a day. I love it so much. Aussie Gold Hunters there. It's a fucking charm. It's beautiful television. Anyway, I said, okay, people, I'm going to stop you for a second. We're going to load up YouTube and we're going to watch this thing in HD and whatever. And oh, you do, you light up the sky. They're so anthemic. Whatever Chris and the guys do.
Chris and the guys.
Yeah, Chris and the guys have made another phenomenal album.
But he is brilliant at, like, because he'll work with it's all,
anyone.
Anybody, but he's always looking for something that's not the fucking obvious. It's like, what would people least expect from us next?
Yeah.
Work with fucking BTS, a huge South Korean pop group. Like,
yeah. Who don't exactly need the coverage. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like Elton going with somebody who's kind of just made it. It's going with somebody who's massive and trying to compete with them, really trying to keep themselves fresh. And then I went down this whole rabbit hole I sat in front of this computer, had my headphones on, and I went, ooh, right. And I gave myself about an hour and a half last week of watching their latest show in New York, the one they've got some charity they do, sort of, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they got everybody sing, Billie Eilish singing with them, and everybody else singing with them and doing duets with this, that, and the other. Oh, phenomenal. But now you see, they're releasing dates of a worldwide tour, but they want it to be as environmentally, I don't agree with the word eco-friendly, because it doesn't work.
But they're looking at their carbon footprint or whatever.
Yes. Again, we don't agree with that carbon footprint. No, we don't. But we're way ahead of the queue.
But you could still be carbon neutral if you wanted. Like,
that's, bang. Yeah. So they're putting matting down on their stadium tours now. So the jumping of the people actually power the gig.
No way.
How fucking cool is that? How cool is that? That's like, woo!
Next level. Amazing. That's fucking next level. That's brilliant. Jesus, I must, that's good information. That's good intel for me now for my job. I like that. Yeah, actually, I'm surprised because, Mike, you're quite...
old?
You're quite critical of certain people and things, you know.
How dare you? I love everyone equally. Oh no, the world is full of knobs. Yeah,
but I wouldn't have had you down I thought Coldplay would annoy the shit out of you. Sorry, that's all. No. That's
yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised because there's a lot of people out there, and I never understand what it is or where people come from. But there's lots of people who fucking hate Coldplay, and I'm like,
oh yeah.
First of all, why would you hate them? Like, even if you don't like their music, you'd hardly like be bothered hating them. But like that, it almost. But I've never really understood because Coldplay wouldn't necessarily be my cup of tea. Like, I really loved their first album, and that's not like me being a wanker. Oh, I really liked the first album, but when the first album came out, I was like, oh, this is fucking great. I love this. Didn't the second album? And then they've had some really good songs, and and if they're on the telly or whatever, if Chris is doing an interview, I'll probably watch it. I really enjoyed the Manchester gig they did. And he played with Liam Gallagher. And, you know, I do like him. I'm just surprised that you like him. And I'm pleasantly surprised.
I think he's of most of the people out there, he actually gets it.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think he's totally like, I'm just doing whatever I want. We as a band are doing whatever we want. We're going to work with BTS. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Why not? Like outside, let's go outside our comfort zone. Let's do something mental, and let's not just do the release a song with a black rapper going, on,
one time,
two times.
Only the ones there. That's two.
But that's good. I'm going to check that out now. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check out.
Well worth listening. The album very, very good. The lead single from BTS, very good. But the last single they had about 2 months ago, Jimmy only played it to me just as we were having lunch there before I came on here. And I said, I don't like that song because it reminds me of, it's really 80s derivative. And there's a song and it's got, there's a little repeat, whatever on it. And it's just like, it's a song that I didn't like. I can't get my head around what the song is, but I know I didn't like it. And now that they've kind of used it, they're not using it, but they're using the same three notes. But it's just, it rankles with me. And it's very, very 80s. It's very like the music for Stranger Things. Have you watched Stranger Things?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
It's like video arcade sort of stuff. Yeah. But it's very listenable too. I wouldn't close it down. If it was on the radio, I wouldn't stop it playing or anything. But yeah, I quite like it. I do like a bit of them. And they were very Oxfam and sort of right on and sort of, you know, Coldplay. They were into what they're into. And don't seem to give a shit about what people say, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I think they're I think they get it. I think you're right. Yeah. And I wouldn't be like, at one point I was, you've seen the documentary, have you?
Yeah, phenomenal. And
they were talking about asking the drummer to leave because they didn't think he was good enough. And that happened. That was the thing Oasis did as well.
Yeah.
And the Beatles. And then and then Chris was like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. That's not the ethos.
That's not what we're about.
No.
And they just said, no, sorry. And they went and apologized and groveled and asked him to come back into the band. And
yeah.
I just think that's real honest, open, vulnerable, sort of like proper, that's proper living, you know. That's
it's not
like,
being an ass for the sake of it. You know, which I kind of like. And that's a nice thing for kids to hear about, you know. And he's now become one of these really odd percussionists. I mean, he'll do, you know, they have a song where they, I think Brian Eno got involved with producing some of their albums or whatever. And he took the three lads off and said that you lads can vocally harmonize and took them to various churches and stuff and got them to shout up bell towers. And recorded some of it, and some of it ended up on the album. But this guy now is using bells and whatever on stage and anything he can hit. So he's become this really creative force behind the group. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah,
good decision. Chris and the guys.
Chris and the boys, saw them live. Wonderful stuff. Coldplay. What a great beat combo. Yeah, that's good. Okay. That's good. That's made me happy, Mike.
Good. I'm glad you're happy. Yeah, because I'm aware that I do positively detest a lot of things.
Positively detest.
I do. Yeah, I go out of my way to hate things.
Oh, I thought you meant like, but in a good way.
No, yeah, but it is a good way because it gets it out of my chest. I can realize, and I think a lot of people don't. You know, I just do not. If I don't like something, I don't like. It's not that I don't like them or I don't like them as a person or whatever. But sometimes it is, but. You know, apart from Australians.
And Canadians.
Yeah.
Scottish and Bono.
No, I like Bono. Quite like Bono. He's just a bit of an arse. He shouldn't talk.
Yeah. I like you. No. Just don't talk anymore. Okay, cool. We'll get along fine.
Yeah, but a lot of people kind of go, oh, yeah, that was nice. This is nice. No, you've got to realize that some things are shit and they need to be called out.
But like we never talk about, you don't talk about things that are shit. Like it's always things that are successful that you think are shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a band that practice every weekend in a garage that we're never going to hear of. Yeah. We're not going to be like shouting in the garage at them going, you're shit.
No.
But you'd be like, ah, fair fucks to them. But if it's successful and shit, or if it's successful and we don't like it, then we feel like we have to say it.
We've got to call it out. That's a new bit. Call
it out. What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Jesus, we've been an hour already.
Oh, Christ. Okay.
What have you, I'll do a very quick thing. Netflix.
Okay.
Watch 71, the movie.
Yes. Okay. It's a movie. Because you just put it up. Fuck's sake. You see, this is what really fucking annoys me. 71 is great. What the fuck is 71? You see, it could be football or something. I'm not interested.
Well, I said 71 is excellent. Brilliant cast and script, and an amazing portrayal of a city at war. Hashtag Netf- or it's on Netflix. Check it out. So there's lots of information in that.
Okay, I just thought you said 71 is great. Maybe it was the frame of mind I was in.
Well, you didn't, because then I said check it out, and you're like check it out.
Yeah. I was more interested.
I always presume people know what it is, and I should say it's about, you know, the conflict in Northern Ireland and...
Don't give it away. You can't give it away.
Well, it's fairly... No, that's okay. That's not too much. It's about a British soldier who becomes separated from his battalion in
Belfast. You just told me it's not too much. Now you're fucking
This is good. It's okay, because there's so much more to go after that. Like, that's cool. This is not spoilers stuff. Okay. This is like, you could literally read this, you know, if you bought the DVD, this would be on the cover.
Okay.
But yes, it's about a British soldier who gets separated from his battalion, and he has to survive the night on the streets of Catholic Belfast.
Oh, wow. Brilliant. Okay. I shall watch that. Defo. That is a Defo recommendation. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to come back and review it next week.
It's very good, because obviously it's an amazing portrayal of, obviously, a city at war, Belfast being at war, Protestant versus Catholic, but it also gets into the nuance, because people think these things are black and white, and they're like, oh, Sinn Féin this, blah, 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 blah. And they blame the blame game, the finger pointing, the and I see it a lot with like Fine Gael are hell bent on pointing the finger at Sinn Féin and bringing up again and again the atrocities, which they were. And they were responsible for some terrible atrocities. But you've got to watch, you've got to do your research, and you've got to read your books, and you can watch a film like this, and you'll see how the workings behind the scenes with the intelligence, so the British Army intelligence, how they were pulling the strings, how certain bombs that went off in certain areas were not the bombs of the groups you think they were. So... Mm. Like a bomb going off in a Protestant area was not necessarily put there by the IRA. And do you know what I mean? So there were atrocities, and there were deaths, and there were killings, and it was all terrible. And but we were at war. And in my book, the IRA and the soldiers and the provisional IRA, not the real IRA, the provisional IRA, they were soldiers, as were the British Army soldiers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also the British Army soldiers and the IRA soldiers were treated like shit by the people who in charge, by their own officers. Like, nobody was fucking winning here. Like,
no.
And it's all to do with the higher ups pulling the strings. And I feel sorry for the soldiers. I feel sorry for the men on the ground on both sides, because they're the
foot soldiers. Yeah. The foot soldiers on either side of any war are always just gun fodder. They're doing the big boys' bidding. Mm. And, you know, we can criticize any politician today, any politician from any country in the world, whatever, we can criticize them, no problem whatsoever. We can look into their biographies and see how they've been this or they've done that or they've whatever, and they've taken money or they've been bent or whatever. I don't think there's such a good a thing as a perfect politician. And these politicians are the people who decide we go to war. So let's give our armed forces a break, because they're just doing the bidding of a bunch of people who are dodgy to begin with.
Now, at least the IRA soldiers, there was less. Well, maybe there wasn't, but there was. You know, you feel like there was less upstairs background sort of. They were just fighting for their freedom, basically. They were freedom fighters. It was a civil unrest. It was like they were prisoners in their own homes. They weren't able to get the jobs that the Protestants were able to get. Their houses were in shit. Their streets were in shit. They were being harassed by the British soldiers on orders from on high. And these young lads decided to take up arms and fight for themselves and for their neighbors, basically, you know. So that's the only kind of caveat.
Now, that is a big caveat.
But it's 71 is brilliant. And I wish everybody would fucking watch it. I'm just sick of people. I'm sick of Fine Gael. Like Fine Gael, I'm gonna keep going. Like the Republic of Ireland, the people of the Republic of Ireland, official Republic of Ireland, we abandoned the Irish Catholics of the North. We abandoned them. We cut them off and we left them to their own devices. And then we fucking, and then some of us, like Fine Gael, pointed the finger when they started fucking fighting back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I just think is sly. And like, anyway, that's my issue.
You take it back then, Fianna Fáil then were the nationalist party.
Mm.
But I was watching Reading in the Years 1968 last night, and you had Jack Lynch getting rid of Charlie Haughey and all the boys for alleged gun running.
Mm.
And they were technically doing what Fianna Fáil was set up to do in the first place. But because it all got political and everybody got clean and everybody was taking brown envelopes for planning with no schools and no fucking access to this, that and the other, it all gets fucked up. And that's the problem with being in a relatively young state with two parties. One is for, one is against, and, you know, nobody's really looking. There hasn't been much time to look back.
No.
And I think that Holly Cairns lady, it Holly Cairns?
Holly, yeah.
Who put it so succinctly, and we mentioned that before on this, that she said, we shouldn't be voting for what our grandparents want. We should be voting for what our grandchildren want. Let's look forward, boys. Let's not look. It's like we're too close to it. And we're not far away enough from the future.
Mm.
We just need to plan. I think if anything's come out of this podcast, say plan.
Plan.
Plan shit.
Plan. Shit. Come on. Plan. Come on, yeah. Let's plan shit.
And I plan to watch the second episode of Squid Games.
Oh, because, yes.
Oh, fucking hell. I watched the first one. Have you seen any of it?
Myself and Finn sat down and watched episode two because he'd seen episode one. So I have to go back now and watch episode one.
Oh, you can't watch these things out of sync. That really annoys the shit out of me.
Shut up. You're being so nice about things, Mike.
Stop
hating on me.
No, I'm hating you now. Yeah, because you got to watch these sort of things.
Okay.
It gives a great backstory as to why he's in the shit he's in. And it's one of those things, you know, I was at work the other day and there was a group of us sitting around and somebody said, one of the younger people said, oh, I've watched Squid Games. I said, it's fantastic. It's so stylized and so odd and so whatever. And one of the other guys said, what's it about? And I said, I feel I can't tell you.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to give anything away. Having watched the first one, it's just so fucked up. Like it's Sally Ann decided at the end of it, she will not be watching anymore of it. Myself and Jim looked at each other as to say, fucking crazy lady.
Okay, see you later, lady. Okay, yeah, see you later. You
crazy lady. Go and live in a quality tunnel. Oh, it's fucking great.
Squid Games. Okay, that's a good recommendation. Yeah. I sometimes eat porridge and then watch Squid Games. Oh, shite. Mike, what have you got planned for the rest of the weekend?
Cutting fucking fabric and stuff.
I'm brilliant.
I've had a recent spate of having a working week, Monday to Friday, and then weekends off.
Yeah.
Somebody thought they were doing me a favor, and I don't actually like having weekends off. I'd rather have days off during the week when I can get stuff done.
I get it. But obviously somebody who's giving you work to do.
I've now got 7 days of work to do. Well, I should be enjoying my weekend.
I feel bad for you. I'm going to the theater tonight.
Oh, what are you going to see?
This book, Iron Annie.
Yes.
By Luke Cassidy.
Yes.
We reviewed it on the Pat Kenny show. And funnily enough, coincidentally enough, there's a stage show that Luke Cassidy does. It's called the Iron Annie Cabaret.
Okay.
So we're going to see, and I happen to be in Newbridge tonight. So myself and Suzanne are going to see, going to see that tonight. Bit of theatre.
Wow.
Mm.
Brilliant. Well, do get back and tell us how it went.
We'll do. For next week's check it out.
Yeah. And in pretty soon, I'll be doing a check it out based on Keith Walsh on stage.
Yes. Did you get tickets?
Your eyes just went kind of like, oh. No, I didn't get tickets yet, but I know where the portal is now and everything. I now know how to get tickets.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I need to go on. I need to learn my lines, Mike.
I know. I didn't want to bring it up.
Oh, man. I have them here. Look. Have them here somewhere. Have a folder. Where are my lines?
Shit, I've lost them.
But yeah, I need to. I've decided a page a day.
Yeah, good idea.
Page a day. That's all. Just get going. Mike, enjoy the rest of your day. Hope you got the washing in. Hope it's not too wet. Hope your life is everything that you hope that you want. And I'm going to finish my sandwich.
Okay. Thanks to Acast. Thanks to sandwiches.
Thanks to our families for supporting us.
Yeah. Through our times of Squid Games.
See you, Mike.
Enjoy your sandwich. Miss you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. So love you, Karen.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.